Hello and welcome to episode 812 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Friday, February 23rd, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Friday prayer by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori, to the most blessed Virgin Mary to obtain love towards her and Jesus Christ. O Mary, I already know that thou art the most noble, the most sublime, the most pure, the most beautiful, the most benign, the most holy, in a word, the most amiable of all creatures. O that all knew thee, my Lady, and loved thee as thou dost merit. But I am consoled when I remember that in heaven and on earth there are so many happy souls who live enamored of thy goodness and beauty. Above all, I rejoice that God himself loves thee alone, more than he loves all men and angels together. My most amiable queen, I, a miserable sinner, love thee also, but I love thee too little. I desire a greater and more tender love towards thee, and this thou must obtain for me, since to love thee is a great mark of predestination and a grace, which God only grants to those whom he will save. I see also, my mother, that I am indeed under great obligations to thy son. I see that he merits infinite love. Thou who desirest nothing else but to see him loved hast to obtain me this grace above all others. Obtain me great love for Jesus Christ. Thou obtainest all that thou willest from God. Ah, then be graciously pleased to obtain me the grace to be so united to the divine will that I may never more be separated from it. I do not ask of thee earthly goods, honors, or riches. I ask thee for that which thy heart desires most for me. I wish to love my God. Is it possible that thou refusest to second this my desire, which is so pleasing to thee? Ah, no. Thou already helpest me. Already thou prayest for me. Pray, pray, and cease not to pray until thou seest me safe in heaven, beyond the possibility of evermore losing my Lord, and certain to love him forever, together with thee, my dearest mother. We head back to fisheaters.com today, friends. This reading is entitled First Friday, the Feast of the Holy Lance and the Nails of Our Lord from Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas, published in 1937 by Sheed and Ward. St. Thomas begins with John 19:34. One of the soldiers with a spear opened his side, and immediately there came out blood and water. 1. The gospel deliberately says opened and not wounded, because through our Lord's side there was opened to us the gate of eternal life. After these things I looked, and behold, a gate was opened in heaven, Apocalypse 4:1. This is the door opened in the ark, through which enter the animals who will not perish in the flood. It's important to point this out. And the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas, does so because he's a great teacher, just like his master, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the best teacher. He's not wounded in a sense. Of course, our Lord is receiving vicious wounds and he's mutilated. But the lance that goes into his side isn't described by St. John as a wound. He's opened. The floodgates of grace, the torrent of grace coming from his side, from this lance, the blood and water. This is our opportunity. This is what he's freely giving to us, what the second person of the Most Holy Trinity came to do, to save us from our sins. So it's like a waterfall of grace that comes gushing out for us. That's why the term opened is used, because God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, is opening heaven for us. Not for anyone who just, makes an altar call and takes Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior one day in his life and then goes back to living a degenerate lifestyle. No, conversion is a daily process. In my life, it's a moment-by-moment process. We have to respond to the grace God is giving us every single day, every moment of every day. Being Catholic isn't just something you do on Sundays and holy days of obligation. It's 24/7, 365 and a quarter. That's the victory that our Lord won for us. But we have to claim it. We have to do our part. Two. But this door is the cause of our salvation. Immediately there came forth blood and water, a thing truly miraculous, that from a dead body in which the blood congeals, blood should come forth. This was done to show that by the passion of Christ, we receive a full absolution, an absolution from every sin and every stain. We receive this absolution from sin through that blood, which is the price of our redemption. You were not redeemed with corruptible things, as gold or silver, from your vain conversation with the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb unspotted and undefiled, 1 Peter 1:18. We were absolved from every stain by the water, which is the laver of our redemption. In the prophet Ezekiel, it is said, I will pour upon you clean water, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. Ezekiel 36:28. And in Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for the washing of the sinner and the unclean woman. Zechariah 13:1. And so these two things may be thought of in relation to two of the sacraments, the water to baptism and the blood to the Holy Eucharist. Or both may be referred to the Holy Eucharist, since in the Mass, water is mixed with the wine, although the water is not of the substance of the sacrament. Again, as from the side of Christ asleep in death on the cross, there flowed that blood and water in which the church is consecrated, so from the side of the sleeping man was formed the first woman, who herself foreshadowed the church. Water and blood. That's the end of the meditation. Water and blood, my friends. We hear in the scriptures, baptism now saves you. We must repent and be baptized. That's so important. That's why conversion is so important. If you know anyone who isn't baptized, they need to get baptized. They need to become Catholic. And the blood. We think about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the Catholic Church isn't right on the Most Blessed Sacrament, then we're engaging in pagan idolatry. As the eminent biblical theologian Dr. Scott Hahn said, and thought prior to his conversion to Catholicism. So this is either pagan idolatry, or it is exactly what the Catholic Church says it is, the highest form of worship a human being can engage in, as the Catholic apologist Steve Wood says. Receiving God himself in his body, blood, soul, and divinity at Mass. So the stakes are high. The stakes are huge. We trust the church, as the church is the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust our Lord himself. Because he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. If you have Protestant friends, direct them to John 6. Where do they eat our Lord's flesh. The Greek word is trogon, means to gnaw. Where did they drink our Lord's blood? Many Protestants might have a communion service, a memorial service, a Lord's Supper, where they commemorate his passion, death, and resurrection, but they don't truly believe that he's present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. The Catholic Church does. And the Catholic Church is right, because the Catholic Church is the one true religion. The Catholic Church is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church started by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you're a Catholic who's been away from the faith, you need to come home. Just go to confession and you're back in. Welcome back. If you're not Catholic, you need to convert. I suggest you find a Society of St. Pius X Chapel, otherwise known as the SSPX, readily available online. You can find where they are. They have chapels throughout the world. Go to confession. Or if you're not Catholic, talk to a priest about coming into the faith and the steps you need to take. It is the best decision you will ever make in your life. I guarantee it. And may God bless you on your journey. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, that of her family, breaking through to open communication via RPM, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She knows foreign languages. Tremendously intelligent young lady. How many more like her are out there? This has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of communication as sign language was for the deaf. You could also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please get this information to the family and friends of non-speakers. And if you don't know any non-speakers, I can vouch for the fact that those who have broken through to open communication are some of the most kind, compassionate, and intelligent folk you'd ever meet in your life. Communication is a human right. Imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you were unable to tell your family where you like to go on vacation, what your favorite color is, what you want to eat for dinner. The most basic stuff, let alone what are your hopes and dreams for the future. This has helped so many people, and we pray that it will help many, many more. And thank you for helping us. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and tune in again next time. Goodbye, and God love you.